On Scenic Roots, this is Live in the Library. For the past several years, the Camp House has held a biannual songwriters contest / showcase, where songwriters would play for an audience and a panel of judges, and through a process of elimination each week, a winner was chosen. The Camp House, of course, at the moment is closed, but Mark Anderson wanted to continue the showcase, so this spring he took it online. A few weeks ago, we had a session with three of the finalists. This afternoon, we have a session featuring another of the finalists, Dylan Kussman, along with one of his favourite songwriters, Rachelle Barr, who makes records as Karting Lee.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you, Rachelle?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Do you want to tell everyone your full name?
Sure. We were just talking about this. I go by my middle name, which is Rachelle. So my first name is Amanda, because I was born in the 80s. So, you know.
A lot of Amandas.
A lot of Amandas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amanda Rachelle Barr.
Okay. And I'm Dylan Kussman.
So we're going to play some songs.
Okay. We're going to play some songs. How long have you been writing songs, Rachelle? I'm excited to hear your first song.
Well, you've probably heard it before. I'm going to play a song from my first album, which is right now, it's my only album that has been released. But I've been writing songs, to answer your question, for, I took a long break when I had my kids. So it doesn't feel like it's been 15 years. But if you count the break, then it's been a total of 15 years. So it's been a while. It's been a long, beautiful ride.
So tell us about your first song. What's the song that you're going to play for us first?
Well, this is a song called Something Good. I wrote it after I had my son. And so that was probably, let's see, he was born in 2013. So probably about 2014. And it's kind of heavy if you think about it that way. It's not about motherhood. So please don't think that it is. But I think it was a lot about how you know, sometimes we find ourselves feeling stuck, and that's really what the song is about, that feeling of feeling stuck and finding yourself in a place where you didn't think you would be, but trying to make the best of it. You know, it's wonderful to be a mother, so I feel strange that I introduced it like that. It's not about that. But it is true that in the beginning of motherhood, that's a really, really difficult, challenging time and a life change. And so I can see how this song would have come out of that place as well. But yeah, go ahead and here we go.
I know you have to leave, it doesn't matter much to me that I'll be lonely. I don't mind the solitude. In the morning you'll be gone and I'll be left to carry on our conversations with the echoes in the room. I always thought I'd be the one to move on. I never settle down, I never make up my mind, always looking for a way out. I just haven't found it. And when we say goodbye, I wonder how long I'll be trapped here in this moment. For forever or a while. It's not that I don't believe in love, it's that I don't believe that I should ever need you or anyone at all. And I always thought I'd be to move on. I never settle down, I never make up my mind, always looking for a way out. But I just haven't found it. Doesn't matter that much anyway. I tell myself I've got all this time to make something good. So I'll try to make something good. I always thought I'd be the one to move on. I never settled down, I never make up my mind. Always looking for a way out, but I just haven't found it.
Michelle, that was beautiful. You have such a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
I love your voice.
Thank you so much.
Have you been singing longer than you've been writing songs?
Oh, longer than I can remember.
Who was the first vocalist or singer that really impacted you, that made you want to...
Oh, my grandmother. She was a classically trained singer, but also she was a music minister in a Baptist church. She bought me my first piano as well. So she really nurtured music in my life, for sure. Yeah.
Nice. What a gift.
Yeah.
And your songwriting's so honest.
Thank you.
You come from such a true place. And I really felt that last line, how looking for a way out, I just haven't found it yet. And there really is no way out from parenthood once, is there?
There's not.
I'm not,
I need to clarify, I'm not looking for a way out of parenthood.
No, but there's no way out from your manifestation of your life.
Well, and you know, and the truth is, there was a situation it turned out I needed a way out of, you know, and I ended up getting divorced and became a much happier parent when that happened in my life. And, you know, so I did need a way out. It was very truthful. And sometimes I think our songs know before we do.
Yeah. It's also just tough to come from that honest place and put it into the physical manifestation of words and music, and you're so good at that.
Well, thank you. So you're going to play a song now.
Now I'm going to play a song.
Good. Tell us about it.
Okay. This song is about sportsmanship. I was just thinking about, because I've got a son, mm-hmm. and I'm just thinking, and we play a lot of games, and I think about, you know, what I was taught as a youngster about how to lose gracefully.
Yeah.
That whole principle of, it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about when I learned that in my life. And so then I wrote this song. It's called Sore Loser. Up, sore loser. Why you got to this way, shake, refuser. No, that's not the way we play. Yes, I know losing can make you sad. There's no reason to act this bad. No one chooses to play with sore loser ever again. My granny and me, we like to play cards. And when I would lose, I took losing heart. One day I lost so bad that I threw my cards on the floor. She said, act that way, I won't play with you no more. So loser, why you got to be this way? Shake, refuser. No, that's not the way we play. Yes, I know losing can make you sad. There's no reason to act this bad. No one chooses to play with sore loser ever again. Then later on, I played soccer too. And when we would lose, here's what we would do. Ooh, go shake their hands and tell them good game. But
then one of us started calling them dirty names. Hey, you're so loser. Why you gotta be this way? Shake, refuser. No, that's not the way we play. Yes, I know losing can make you sad. That's no reason to act this bad. No one chooses to play with so a loser. A graceful bye-bye goes a long, long way. You'll live to fight another day. Hey, yeah. Might lose the battle, don't mean you lost the war. Ain't that what the word rematch is for? I think that's what it's for. Then off in high school, we had a student body election. And one that you lost fair and square. But I guess you couldn't handle the rejection. And like a big old baby, you cried and said, no fair. Wah, so loser. Why you got to be this way? Shake, refuser. No, that's not the way we play. Yes, I know, losing, it must really hurt. But seriously, who raised you? Haven't you ever heard of good sportsmanship? No one chooses to play with a loser ever again. No one chooses to play with a loser ever again. They're never gonna play with you again.
It's awesome. Love it.
You know, be a gracious loser. Oh, it's okay. We all win. We win some and lose
and
some.
And we have to learn how to lose, don't
we?
Yes,
we do.
It's not a natural thing.
No, it's not. Yeah. It doesn't feel good. But as Nelson Mandela said, I never lose. I either win or I learn.
Well,
and yeah. I try and keep that in mind.
Yeah, I think that's really beautiful. Yeah, sure.
So what are you going to play for us now?
Well, since I'm still sitting here at the guitar, then I'll do another song I had prepared to play on the guitar. This song is, I hope we get a chance to talk about this a little bit more, you know, with Richard, but I love thinking about songwriting and talking about songwriting. I love songwriting and the process and the way that it has sort of changed for me over the years. One of the things that I have started participating in is these songwriting challenges, kind of, where you just write a song every month. I know there are a lot of musicians in this area who do that, in particular in the month of February. A lot of people do that. So these songs were written, actually, in February of 2020. All the rest of the songs I'm going to play today were written in February of 2020. Wrote a song every day. Most of those songs are... They were pretty, I was like kind of surprised. You know, you got your throwaway songs in a challenge like that for sure. But I was surprised how many really quality songs came out of that. But really the quality of the experience was kind of, you know, the amazing thing for me. And so this is a song that came out of that month. And it's true that especially when you're a really honest songwriter, songs kind of, they can get kind of crazy. Like, what do I write about today? You know, what in the world is this going to be? And it's interesting how when you sit down, you really, sometimes you know exactly where you're headed and you have an idea. And sometimes you have no idea what is going to come out. And this is one of those songs where I had no idea. But it was late and it was raining and I was in my boyfriend's apartment and I just couldn't think of anything to write. And I remember I was so frustrated, you know, I was like, I want to go to bed. And then, you know, I think that that there was a darkness in that place in that month in particular. It was right before COVID that kind of it was there already, but we didn't know it yet. And I think that's reflected in a lot of the songs that I'm going to play. So anyway, this is a song from that time. This will be the first time I think that I've played it. So here we go. Like, I mean, I played it, you know, but I mean for other people.
Yes.
My little bird, falling in the snow, why did you arrive so early? No feathers keep you from the cold. Even so, my love, you sing. Why must the harsh winds blow? Only the winter knows. So I pick you up, I bring you in to rest. Nature can't have all her ways, it's meddling at best. But if you're already lost, why deny the dead a nest? Only the winter knows. You shiver near me, fragile and violent in the curve of my neck, my love, you sing. And if you must, I may you die, love, may we die, love. Only the winter, only the winter, only the winter knows.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
You found the right place for it.
Yeah, that that song, it came to mean something else, you know, after a year of COVID. I think that we lost some songbirds, some really precious ones. And
yes.
So, yeah.
But may we all die loved.
But may we all die loved.
And only the winter knows.
Yeah, yeah. I guess we don't know, do we? We will.
What is that? What did that mean when you wrote that?
Well, you know, it was the dead of winter. I mean, for me, February, I know February is close to it's like the darkest before dawn kind of month, at least around here it is. March really comes alive for us here. So we're blessed in Tennessee not to have, you know, a long winter. But I think that it's in the darkest times that we do find the truth of our lives, you know. I think that's where we know how loved we are. It's, you know, it's like that's the time to see it. It's the time to recognize it. It's the time to call upon it. You know, when we're in our darkest times and darkest moments and the deepest part of winter, I think that's where we have to kind of like, one, dig deeply into ourselves, but also rely on the love that is around us. So I think that's the grace we can give to ourselves and to other people. And, you know, the bird is clearly an accidental metaphor. I mean, it's happened to me before. It's funny because I've had several experiences of, you know, there are those birds who fall a little bit too early from the nest. I've seen them. I've picked them up, you know. Like I said, that's meddling. We're not supposed to do that. But sometimes we do.
Hard not to. We just were over at a friend's house where that happened in the yard. We found a baby bird in the yard. And it's not only hard just as adults to leave that bird be and say that's part of the natural order, but the kids.
Yeah.
They ran to it. They surrounded it. They're looking to us going, what can we do?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to play a song now.
Yeah.
This song is about just that moment when, you know, when you're in love with somebody, you've got strong feelings for someone and they have strong feelings for you and they've told you that. And that moment when you begin to suspect that they don't feel that way about you anymore, it's that fine line when the situation has turned in some way and you don't exactly know why. and it's called Same Old Story. And I think it just started because of this chord I liked. Sometimes songs just start off with a chord you like.
Oh, yeah.
Never ends, but what else am I supposed to do? He's telling me, when did you intend to let me know that you had in mind to let me go? Oh, you don't love me anymore. Me, did you know the ending from the start? Story that we both know by heart. Oh, don't love me anymore.
Scenic Roots, this is Rochelle Barr, who makes music as Carting Lee and Dylan Cusman, recorded in the studio in the library downtown. Both Dylan and Rochelle have been writing and singing for quite a few years. But before he began writing and singing in college, Dylan was a child actor.
I was in a television commercial when I was 6 weeks old.
Oh my goodness.
I got my SAG card when I was 4, I think. And I started voluntarily. That was because my mom was driving me around as a baby actor, and she was an actor as well, and is an actor, but she drove me around, got me in stuff, and then she stopped doing that. When I was 11, I said, I want to be in a play. I took my own initiative on it, and I started doing that at 11. I got an agent, and I started, you know, my film and television career in earnest when I was about 14.
What does that mean to be a baby actor? You're not really an actor, right?
That's up for debate. I think I was told that I was pretty good.
That's interesting, because it couldn't be conscious, right? At what point does it become conscious that you're acting?
Well, when I was 6 months old, I was in a commercial as well, and my job was to crawl around in a diaper while a man sat in a chair and talked about his insurance company, and I was told that I crawled around very well. You're laughing. It's not funny. I was told that I was very talented, very young, at 6 months, and you know how kids are when they're 6 months old. They're very, you know, they're developing, their creative sense is sort of coming out, and I was told, good, very good, and that really resonated with me, and so I decided to pursue it from that moment on.
Mm-hmm. So at what point did you have this conversation?
Well, then, right after the shoot, I asked Mom, I said, my actual first spoken word was Juilliard, and she said, okay, absolutely, and I was off and running.
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding. Parents, when you see babies on television shows and commercials, those kids have parents who looked at their children or who had other parents in their lives who said, your kid is so cute. Your kid should be on TV. Or I think my kid could really do well, you know, getting cast. And they go and they get them represented by agencies, by talent agencies, and they put them in their car and they drive them to casting calls, or nowadays it's probably self-tapes, and they say, hey, my baby wants to be in this baby food commercial. And their child gets selected, and the baby had nothing to do with it. And that's who I was for a big chunk of my life when I was very young. And eventually, that takes its toll on the parent.
Mm-hmm. Well, it takes a toll on both.
On both. But the kid is kind of like, oh, we're going someplace, and I have to sit on this chair, and a camera points at me, and then I get fed, and then we go home. I mean, the kid doesn't know any better, but the parent's gone through a lot of work to do it. And they're called set moms. They're all over Hollywood, set moms, because they're all convinced that their kid's going to be a star.
What's it like to be 10, 11 and be the center of attention like that?
I don't know where my performer's heart came from. I am the oldest of three children. I was the center of my parents' world. I'm from a nuclear family. I was raised upper middle class in a suburb of Los Angeles. I wanted for nothing. I was not unloved. My creative urges were encouraged. I do not have a rags to riches story in any way, shape, or form. I was not in any way starved for attention and said, I have to get the eyes of the world on me. I don't know. Both my parents are in the entertainment industry, so I think that probably rubbed off on me a little bit. I definitely started to get juiced when I started doing theater at 11, and when I would say a line and I'd get a laugh from an audience, there's a juice that comes from that.
Did the training that you received from when you were so young create a kind of independence in you as a performer, so that even if you don't have that receptive audience, you still can do what you do and kind of self-actuate?
Film acting is its own special beast because, unlike a theater performance or a live film performance, it is just for a mechanical piece of metal and plastic, a camera, and some lights. Now, you might say, an actor might be able to say, well, I can still feel the energy of the crew watching me or the director watching me, and that's true. But for the most part, it kind of feels vacuum sealed. You get the rush of it when you go to the premiere and you watch the audience around you reacting to your performance on the screen, but it's indirect and it's delayed. You have to actually know that you're giving a good performance, either from the feedback from the director, who is really the only person who should be talking to you about your performance, and your own sense of creative self and truth. And you're trying to have an experience on camera. So that, to me, does translate to the ability to create privately. As songwriters, we do a lot of private creative time where we work it out and we're thinking and we're imagining what an audience might like about it. So I would say that film acting in that respect did encourage my growth as an artist to do things privately. Writing, I'm a screenwriter as well. That's also, it can be a very solitary venture for long stretches of time. There's been a lot of grieving and there's been a lot of change and people have lost their jobs and not been able to get new ones. And, you know, us creative types as writers and musicians, and we go through large periods of uncertainty. I've been through a lot of periods where I haven't had enough work. And I felt like I never was going to get work. And it's scary. So I've been just aware of that phenomena going on around me for the past year and a half. And I wrote this song about a time in my life when I wasn't working and my partner was. And, you know, the world can just feel really unresponsive. It can feel really empty when you're feeling that way. You can feel like there's nobody out there. So that's why I wrote this song. It's called Unemployed on This Asteroid. Don't come home until the dishes are done. I don't want to see my only one. If she can't see her only man, doing everything you can. Don't come home until the bed is made, the dinner's finished and the table laid. Don't want you to see the one you keep lying fast asleep. Don't want you to see this lump of clay come up empty day after day. Don't want you to see the man you chose wither like a dying rose. I'm just waiting for the phone to ring. I ain't even got a song to sing. I know you're working in the summer heat, boots on your feet. Father, when I put the bottle down, all the other stuff would come around. I never knew how on the war I'd wage to turn a single page. Don't want you to see this lump of clay piss and moan away another day. Don't want you to see the man you chose become another one of those. I guess there's not much left to say. I know I'll find a job someday. Till then I'll ask you to believe not to leave. Don't you leave, baby, don't leave me. Don't come home when things are such a mess. I want everything to look its best. When you come walking through the door, see what you're working for.
On Scenic Roots, live from the Chattanooga Downtown Library, Dylan Kussman and Rochelle Barr.
This is another song that I wrote back in February of 2020 as a part of the Song a Day experience that I was participating in. It's called Amaranth, and it's a song about getting older. And I don't think I realized that when I was writing it, but the more that I've played it, the more that I listen to it, the more that that's what I hear. And I think that, you know, it's, I guess the character in the song is getting older, the earth is getting older, people, it's a song about aging and how nothing stays the same. So, Amaranth.
Ride each muddy wave upon the swift Hiwassee, an ancient and swelling song follows you home.
I tend to kind of write about ideas. Writing about feelings and truly being able to tap into feelings and channel it into music is a superpower.
So you're not really comfortable doing that?
I try to. Unemployed on This Asteroid is from a feeling. It's from a place. Mm-hmm. I seem to stumble across emotional moments. I feel like that's where you live.
Yes, as a songwriter.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? There's some people definitely seem to write, for the most part, in the first person, whereas others tend to write in the third person. I can think of lots of examples of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you tend to write in the first person, Michelle?
Yes. I do. I do tend to write in the first person. It's not always the case. But now I've written so many songs that I've had to like intentionally branch out because it can be like, you know, I wrote 60 songs last year. So probably more than that because it's a song a day in February and then a song a day in October.
Tell me about that process then. Let's talk about the first day of February. And then the last day of February, was the process the same on both days?
Not at all. It was definitely different. But, you know, the first day of February, I felt like I had often waited for a muse, you know, like some of us do. We get the feeling to write a song. And I mean, I know that feeling. I'm like, oh, I got to write a song, you know. And it definitely is still a real thing that it still happens all the time.
What do you mean? Do you just sort of get this...
There's something going on.
Impulse to write?
I do.
Because of an experience?
Sometimes. Mm. Sometimes a feeling.
But you can't necessarily wait for that.
Why would I? You know, why? I think that creates one type of songwriting, and it's a really incredible type of songwriting, and it's something wonderful and powerful, but there are more ways to explore music and this thing that I love doing, and I want to find more ways to explore it. And so that's what I did in February and October, and we're doing again now. I wouldn't say that I came to any kind of process, but I definitely, you know, if you said, Rochelle, you need to write a song in an hour, like, I got you. Like, I can do it.
You can?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I have that confidence now. Like,
what I love about getting into a rhythm like that is it reminds me of the maxim that the muse may show up, but you better be writing when she does.
Yes.
And it's this idea of... put your rear end in the chair and work.
Exactly.
And even if you don't feel like working and you say, I don't have a song in me, I don't have a screenplay page in me, I don't have anything in me, sit down and get to work because you don't know if it could strike.
It could, and it might not.
And if not, you've had a tough day at the office.
Well, that's exactly right. But you write anyway. You know, you write no matter how you feel. I'm reminded of Rilke in this, I write because I must write. And that used to mean to me a muse. And now it means, no, I write because this is what I do. This is who I am. I get up in the morning and I'm write. I create. Sometimes I create things that I want to share with other people. Sometimes I create things I never want to look at again. It doesn't change the fact that I create every day.
So is that a kind of unconscious process where you're just putting on the page whatever's in your mind, even though you're not necessarily aware of what's in you, like rather like having a conversation with yourself on the page?
Sometimes. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. You know, sometimes I have a melody line already in my head. Sometimes I start with lyrics, and I definitely, maybe it's just a preference, like a personal preference, but I don't like to write the same way every day. It's one of the reasons why I play the two instruments, because it gives me a lot of more freedom. You know, and I know if I want to write a song quickly, I'll be faster on the piano because it's like my home. But the guitar gives me an outlet that's different, and it changes up the experience and it changes the way that I approach the song. You know, for example, like on the guitar, I'm not going to choose to play in the key of B flat most of the time, right? Well, on the piano, sure, absolutely. Like, no problem. You know what I mean? So, and one of my friends actually chose to do it in February. He decided he was going to explore the guitar and write a song in every major key and every minor key. So he did that, and he was going to use as many open strings as possible when he did it. I was like, that's really impressive. He did it. He did it. And he came up with some really weird, incredible songs that, you know, had he not gone into it with that process already kind of like, I know where I'm going to start every day, he would have come up with something, but it would have been something different. This is a song called Dreamer. I'm just going to go for it. And I hope this is not the first time I've played a lot of these songs. It is a lot of them are on my album. These past this one and the past two that I played are on the album that I'm working on right now. It'll hopefully be coming out in October. So pretty excited about that. It's a long process for sure. And so I've been mixing these songs over the weekend and kind of like, it's amazing how their sound starts to grow and transform. But we'll have the straightforward piano version here today. So here we go. The song is called Dreamer.
Thank you.
eastern canyons fall beneath us, how swiftly all of us could end on paths through cloudland. In the morning, the dying hemlocks with prying glances they watch me. Thousands of pieces, the moment when I'm finally set free.
What a chord to end on. How did you find that?
Yeah, it is major 7th and the 9th.
That is wonderful. So majestic. I mean, even just for the piano, the part where he's saying that tears us apart when you're doing the big boom. Yeah. It's huge. Stuff.
I had to not play the whole thing. I was like, oh, I got to sing into a microphone too. I can't you lose myself in the music sometimes. That's for sure.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
All right. This is my last song. Was that your last song? And this is the very first song I think I ever wrote. And I wrote it to the first person I ever fell in love with. And I'm still playing it because I found new ways to play it. Mm-hmm. It's called On This Road.
Summer beach and sunset, my fingers through your hair with the wind, and the rolling waves are music, twilight skies above, they fold us in. I'm with you, baby, I'm with you, I'm never far away to take my hand. I don't know where this way is leading, but for now it feels so right, and I say, I'll stay on this road, Astyanes, Road, I'm on with you. Astyanes, Road. Astyanes, Road, I'm on with you. Been blessed by your light. It shines upon me and warms me inside. Your smile is working magic, yeah. I am yours and you are mine. That sand is shore, looking together at the sea. And the blue, blue water, so beautiful and free. Hold me tight, we walk together. This is our time we found, and I say, I say, and I say to you, I stay on this road. Astyanes, Road, I'm on with you. Astyanes, Road. Astyanes, Road, I'm on with you. Astyanes, Road. Astyanes, Road. Astyanes, Road. Astyanes, Road. Walk with me, oh, walk with me, yeah. Oh, walk with me, oh, walk with me, yeah. Oh, walk with me, oh, walk with me. Hey, hey, oh, 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 on this road.
I was talking to a stage actor a couple of months ago, and we've been talking for quite a while. So it just occurs to me that the art of acting is not talking, it's listening.
Oh, it so is. Absolutely.
And reacting.
Is. Absolutely. And as singer-songwriters, we rely on the act of listening to make it work. And as actors, we do too. And it's the premium is not put on listening in our culture. It really isn't. The premium is put on talking. And we have to make a conscious effort to become better listeners and to train ourselves to be listeners. And when I tell my half of my class, sit there and listen and watch to what they're doing. Your job is super important.
On behalf of Rochelle Barr, who makes music as Carting Lee, and you can find her recordings on Spotify, and Ilan Kussman, thank you so much for listening to the session they recorded live in the Chattanooga Downtown Library, as they all are, in the state-of-the-art recording studio. It's on the second floor of the Chattanooga Public Library downtown. The sessions are scheduled for Wednesday afternoons. The recordings, primarily of Chattanooga-based musicians and bands, are engineered and mixed by Sam Manser. The executive producers for Live in the Library are me, Richard Winham, for WUTC, and Sam Manser for the Library. We will have another session recorded live in the Library here on Scenic Roots next Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. To close this afternoon, this is Carting Lee, her most recent single. It's called Cathedral.
In the shadows of tall buildings, fallen angels on the ceilings, oily feathers in bronze and concrete, faded colors, pieces left incomplete. The line moves slowly past the electric distance across the borders between the continents in the cathedrals of New York and Rome. There is a feeling that you should just go home and spend a lifetime finding out just where that is. Shadows of tall buildings, the architecture is slowly peeling. Marble statues and glass dividers. Someone is watching all the outsiders. The line moves slowly through the number gates, past the arches, endlessly kneeling, sonic landscapes echoing views.